You are listening to On The Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Friday, December 7th, 2017 NBA edition of On The Daily, brought to you by RotoViz Radio. I'm Matt LaMarca, who you can find on Twitter at Matt LaMarca, and I'm joined tonight by Sean Kane, who you can find on Twitter at Hey Mr. Kane. This is Sean's first time on the podcast, but he's going to be a regular here moving forward. He is a contributor for RotoViz and Fantasy Labs, and is also the host of the Lineup Logic podcast. That's a daily podcast that breaks down all the NBA slates and all the NFL slates, so if you're looking for more fantasy info, feel free to check that out. Sean, thanks so much for coming on. How's it going?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to be here, man. I mean, you know, like you said, I am regularly thinking about all the slates that I can already handle. So I am I'm pumped to get on here, RotoViz Radio, and break down Friday's slate.
All right. With that said, let's get right into it. We've got the Chicago Bulls at the Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte is favored by 9.5, and we have a 203.5 total. Nikola Mirotic is questionable to make his season debut after getting his face broken by Bobby Portis. And on the Charlotte side, both Cody Zeller and Frank Kaminsky are going to be out, so they're definitely a little bit thin in the front court at the moment. So let's start with the Bulls. Anybody that you're considering over there?
You know, the only guy that pops for me is just from a straight minutes perspective is Denzel Valentine. Guy's been getting almost 30 minutes. He seems to be one of the guys that, you know, they really trust out there. It's not very appealing. You know, his contributions aren't very appealing. I mean, he can go out there and he can score 6 points, you know, and that's about all you're going to get. But he does do the peripherals. He gets you some rebounds, gets you some assists. And with 30 minutes plus, you know, you like that price point on FD. I know he is only 5,100. So it feels like an easy, if he falls to your type player for your cash game lineups, you could do worse at that price.
Yeah, for sure. I could get behind some Valentine. I think in a vacuum, I prefer Justin Holiday if I'm going to go with a wing player. I think similar, you know, role minute wise, he's around 36 a night. And I think he's just a little bit more involved on the offensive end. I like him on FanDuel at 5,500. He's 5,500 on DraftKings as well. But again, I don't think that this is a team like that either of us are really going out of our way to target in this league.
No, and I, you know, the Charlotte side is probably a little bit more interesting. I don't know, Matt, what do you think? How do you think the rotation is going to shake out in the front court without Zeller and Kaminsky?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think obviously Howard is going to see, you know, the majority of the center minutes. I think Marvin Williams will play the majority of the power forward minutes. And then I think they can go small at times and play, you know, like MKG at the power forward slot. But yeah, I outside of Howard, they're going to be a small team, I think.
Yeah, that probably makes a lot of sense. Marvin Williams was the one guy that came to mind for me just because he actually has the size. He'd been playing, you know, kind of in a 50-50 split at the four at times. You know, he's a little bit more of a stretch four, but he has the size that they need if they need it. So that's the only thing. I'll be interested to see what they do here.
Yeah, for sure. Because unless they're going to play Howard like 38 to 40 minutes, which I guess is a possibility.
I get, yeah.
You know, then they're going to be in trouble, I think, on the glass. So
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's a very good point.
So transitioning over to Charlotte, do you have any interest in somebody like Dwight Howard or maybe Michael Kidd-Gilchrist for 4K?
You know, I think MKG is definitely the value play on DK at 4K. I like Marvin Williams on FanDuel at 4,400. I'm not interested in Dwight's price. I think on FanDuel, 7,800, you're asking him to do, you know, almost a Dwight ceiling game, which is that 40-point outing. And that, I mean, as much as Chicago's been kind of a bad defense in general, Robin Lopez can actually hold his own in the middle of that paint. And it's actually, they're 15th in DVP to the center. So he's been relatively respectable. So I think you're in the right vein. Attacking them on the wing is probably the way to do it. And MKG might be the way to go there.
Yeah, I like MKG, and I think Nicholas Batum is probably a little bit underpriced considering that he's playing, 36, 37 minutes a night now.
Yeah, he seems healthy. I mean, I was worried about the elbow for a while, but it seems like that's behind him. He's had a couple nice games back to back here, so I think you can kind of go back to him and expect what we normally would from him.
I think that this is a game that it's a limited appeal game, low total and a somewhat big spread, so I wouldn't go crazy here.
I will say, just if you're remembering, this was the spot when Kemba just smashed. He had a major game here against Chicago, if I'm remembering correctly. I think Kemba had one of his bigger games here. So something to consider. He's had some big lines against Chicago, and if you're talking about a player who could abuse a bad defense, that's certainly a healthy Kemba Walker. So something to keep in mind.
That's a good point. He had 60.7 against the Bulls, and that was roughly 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he's also at home, which I'm also a big fan of Kemba Walker at home. He's got some of the most drastic home road splits in the NBA. So yeah, he'll have low ownership for sure, but that could definitely be a tournament play that pays off for you.
Yep.
All right, before we get on to the next game, I want to talk briefly about the RotoViz NBA Pass. Listeners to the show can get a 30% discount to that pass through our podcast homepage. That's rotoviz.com/NBA podcast. And with that pass, you get access to all of our NBA content for the duration of the season. We do 7 plays of the day article each week. We have special GPP plays articles, and a whole bunch of other good stuff in there too. So definitely something that I recommend checking out if you're somebody who likes to listen to the show. All right, next game, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers favored by 3.5 on the road at the Pacers, 218-point total. Tristan Thompson is questionable with a calf injury, and then Miles Turner and Corey Joseph both questionable for the Pacers. So LeBron, another ho-hum game last time out, 30 points, basically a triple-double. The guy is like the safest investment in DFS, in my opinion. Is he somebody that you're going to consider here?
It's hard not to agree. I mean, I totally agree, that the one of the safest assets, especially when he's, getting challenged. The thing that you love is Cleveland is letting teams stay around. Like the fact that LeBron James has to play 41 minutes in December against the Sacramento Kings blows my mind.
Yeah, it's
But
pretty unbelievable.
yeah, but I mean, this is a terrible defense. And if they don't show up, they let teams stay around and Z-Bo hangs 30 on them. I totally agree. I mean, he has been, virtually unguardable, contributing. The three ball has been phenomenal for him this year. So the only issue that I have is that if you have to pay up for a small forward here, it feels like Kevin Durant is in a really good spot again. And I think that a lot of people will make the decision, KD or LeBron, and you're getting a discount on KD. So that's the only issue that I have. I think it's the opportunity cost of missing Kevin Durant at a pretty high usage. But I do love this spot. Indiana's running up top 10 pace right now. They have something to fight for. I mean, they're on a 13-game win streak, so I think LeBron will try to keep that alive on the road here.
I agree. Like for sure, in a vacuum, if you're ranking LeBron and Kevin Durant on this slate, Durant's the guy that you're going to gravitate towards, considering that he's the cheaper play. We'll talk more about that game when we get to it. But I love the idea of getting LeBron at like a low ownership. He was less than 5% owned on DraftKings on Wednesday.
That's bananas.
So ultimately, it didn't matter because Durant smashed too. But just the idea of getting LeBron at like a sub 10% ownership, I think is really appealing to me in GPPs, especially in a game like this where, it's projected to be up tempo. Sacramento, for as bad as they are defensively, they do play super slow. So that game, was limited in possessions. This game could be much more up and down. And as far as ceilings goes, LeBron is right up there with anybody in the league. So I always love the idea of getting guys like that at low ownership, and I think that this is a pretty prime spot to do so.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And actually, now you got me thinking about reasons to even, think about him in cash games, because I mean, he's been a phenomenal cash game investment here, and you really can't feel comfortable saying that he's going to do much less than, you know, 5x his salary. I mean, he put up 57 FanDuel points on this team earlier in the year and played 36 minutes. So definitely an interesting spot. I like that call a lot.
Anybody else for Cleveland that you're looking at?
Kevin Love. Indiana getting smashed by the center, banged up Miles Turner, who's struggling, you know, just defensively. He's just been abused inside the paint, allowing the league high points in the paint, 48 points in the paint in the restricted area there, per game. One of the worst DVPs to the center in the league. I think that Kevin Love is, you know, he's the kind of guy who, if they know they can exploit the matchup and he gets hot and he gets going, LeBron will feed him. And he'll take, you know, upwards of 20 shots per game. And this could be the kind of situation where we've seen him playing in the five and he's been pretty dominant. I don't mind the price. And I think he's an interesting, you know, he's an interesting pivot off of some of the more chalky options at center.
Yeah, definitely. I like him a lot on FanDuel in particular at 8K. Like you said, Indiana just really poor against centers. They started the year and maybe Turner being out would actually result in a tougher matchup for Love, because they've sort of been getting smashed on the glass ever since he's come back. Mm-hmm. So maybe Sabonis represents a little bit of an upgrade in that department. So if Turner's in, I really like the idea of getting Love against a potentially hobbled Turner. But if he's out, I might reconsider.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the Kevin Love versus Domantas Sabonis is perfectly fine by me, I think.
Right.
We'll keep an eye on it. You know, but Turner's played, right? He hasn't sat. This isn't the same injury that he had earlier. It was the neck, right?
So correct. Now he's played a bunch.
Yeah. So I think he'll probably get some run here. I think he'll give it a go. But yeah, no, other than that, I think that, you know, those are the guys you want as far as, you know, fantasy basketball on this team is concerned.
Right. I mean, Dwayne Wade has had some success recently, but he's not somebody I'm really ever excited about rostering, given that he's only going to play like 24-25 minutes a night.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I thought there.
All right, what about on the Pacers side of the ball?
I mean, you got to start with Victor Oladipo. I mean, it's insane. It's unbelievable what he's been able to do some of these games. You know, people I think when he was in the 7 and 8K range, people were, you know, much more interested in rostering him. And now he's, you know, flirting with 8K, flirting with 9K on DraftKings and over 9K. And he has been on to the last two slates on FanDuel. He's a hard to fit in play, but I think in a tournament lineup, if you're going away from the studs and you want to go a little bit more balanced, I think he's an interesting play. You're going to have a really bad defense. He's at home here. You know, and the interesting thing about Oladipo is the scoring can just be, I mean, through the roof. He put up 36 points on Toronto. And at the first time, you know, the first time he played Toronto earlier in the season, he only managed 21. So if he gets going and finds a matchup that he likes, I mean, he will take as many shots as he feels comfortable. And it's very clear that that's how they have him schemed right now. He's going to do the peripherals. He's going to get you the blocks and the steals. So, you know, you got to think about Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, I'm with you that it's like he's going to be very tough to fit in, you know, because there are clear cut studs on this slate that you're going to want to target. And it's going to be tough to get in a guy who's, you know, 9K or so around him. But Oladipo's 13th in the league in usage, so he's been a huge beneficiary, you know, getting away from Russell Westbrook, getting over to the Pacers. This is really his team. And in addition to the scoring, he gives you so much in the peripheral categories. You know, he gives you a handful of rebounds, assists, steals, even contributes with some blocks. You know, this is a guy who can do a little bit of everything. So I'm a huge fan of him. I love his game, especially for DFS purposes. And if Turner was out, I would consider, you know, paying for him at this salary for sure in this matchup. Because Cleveland, even though they've been winning a bunch of games, they're still a bottom 10 defensive team in the league. So I would have no problem paying up for him as a contrarian tournament play, especially if Turner's out. But if Turner's in, it's going to be tough for me to get there given all the other guys. So I'm with you on that. It sounds like he's going to be more of a secondary option for most people. But again, that could make him an excellent tournament play.
I think that you know, pivoting away from kind of the clear cut, five figure studs and trying to fit in some of these 8 and 9K guys, could be an interesting way to pivot in a tournament lineup. And there's a lot of really appealing ones. So
yeah, definitely agree. Anybody else for the Pacers?
Sabonis, I mean, if Turner sits, I mean, we saw Sabonis smash earlier in the season when Turner was out with that neck injury. I mean, he was doing double-digit rebounds every single night during that span, and he is very reasonably priced. FanDuel 5-1, I believe. That's where he has landed. I'm just double-checking that.
I got him at 4-8.
4-8, yeah. So 4-8, it's a phenomenal price for a guy who can handle 30 minutes, you know, and be relatively productive, especially scoring wise. So I don't mind Sabonis if Turner sits.
Yeah, if Turner sits, that's lock and load cash play. 5,600 on DraftKings, I still think that's close to a lock and load. He was averaging, you know, well over 30 a game when given the opportunity. So yep. I'm definitely on board with him if Turner sits. But that's pretty much where I'm looking at on this team, just those two guys.
No doubt. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, next game we have the Denver Nuggets at the Orlando Magic. Orlando favored by 1.5, and we have a 218-point total. Nikola Jokic is still out for Denver, and Evan Fournier is out for the Magic. Jonathan Isaac is questionable. So some injury value here for both teams. Who do you like for the Nuggets?
Gary Harris. He just profiles as such a phenomenal cash play right now. And he's just been ridiculously consistent, getting over 32 minutes in pretty much every single game. In each of his last five, what I really liked in that New Orleans game was he got really aggressive in shooting, and, you know, he got hot. And one thing you worry about with Gary Harris is that, you know, sometimes he can, you know, distribute too much and try to do a lot on the defensive end, but went in that New Orleans game and took 18 shots. That was the most he's taken in the last five. So 19 attempts from him in that game is a really nice number to see. 37 minutes. You know, he has an equally good matchup as he did. You know, we attack New Orleans on the wings, but the recent trend right now, as far as defense versus position, Orlando 29th in the league right now in defense versus position, allowing 44 points on the regular to the shooting guard position. So we know Harris's minutes aren't going to get messed with Wilson Chandler back. That's going to be Will Barton. So I love Gary. He just feels very safe to me. Always a very high floor play. And he's in a phenomenal matchup, especially when, you know, they're going to be playing reserves for most of the game. Fournier's out. And it's not like Fournier is a great defender, but he's the starter for a reason.
Right, for sure. Yeah, Harris has been about as good of a cash game play as you can find recently. You know, he's like 36 minutes every single night, and his price never really seems to move much. You know, he's always right around 6K. So I have no problems using him. He's seen the biggest increase in usage on the team with both Jokic and Millsap sidelined. So I definitely like that play. Where Orlando to me is really the weakest is against the point guard position. So I also am definitely interested in Jamal Murray. He has led the team in usage with Jokic and Millsap off the court, 28.3%. The minutes are always questionable, and Chandler coming back could definitely have a bit of an impact on that. But I still think that the upside with this guy is enormous, you know, given the opportunity that he does play 30 plus minutes and has a usage rate of close to 30% against, you know, the team that has been one of the worst in the league against the point guard position.
Yeah, I completely agree. You're going to tilt Malone's rotations all night long.
Oh, yeah. I have lost so much money playing Jamal Murray over the past two seasons. Like, I talk myself into him on almost every slate, but again, like, I just think it's too good of a spot to pass up on the off chance that he does get 30 minutes.
It is. You're right. It's on the off chance that Mike Malone goes, it's you tonight. You get the minutes. The problem that I have with Murray is really not that Murray as a play, like in a vacuum. It's when you compare him to Moutier at 3,900, who, you know, Moutier might get 24 minutes. And at that price on FanDuel, you kind of are like from a point per dollar value in your cash games. But yeah, I mean, Murray definitely has the upside. I mean, especially if he can start hitting the three, which is always kind of the bugaboo for him. He's got to hit that three. I think he's, you know, that's when he really start to see the more high ceiling plays. So I agree with you. I mean, and everybody's going to be thinking about it. It's just whether or not he goes out in there and he does it.
Do we think that Chandler coming back officially like ends the Kenneth Faried thing?
I think it probably should. I mean, you know, I mean, I love Manimal, but like he's lost a step. The guy who's getting the most run right now is actually what's his name?
Trey Lyles.
Yeah, Trey Lyles is a phenomenal value play for your cash game lineups. It really seems like Malone trusts him. He probably is playing better defense than Faried just because he's more active and younger, higher effort player. He has had some phenomenal games, some phenomenal lines recently, and to get, you know, 30 minutes in that last game was kind of a testament to the fact that Malone seems to be trusting him in this situation. His price has gone up, but he's got a 20-point floor right now, and you feel pretty good about 4,800 on DraftKings if you're looking for a value power forward.
Yeah, I mean, they better play him after essentially trading Donovan Mitchell for him. So.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, the amount of like heat that they took for that was completely and totally deserved.
Yep, absolutely. All right, how about for the Magic? Who do we like?
I mean, I think Vooch. If you're pivoting off of some of the higher priced centers, Vucevic should destroy right here. I mean, we have been attacking them in the front court. We just saw Boogie absolutely light this team on fire, tune of 38 points. Vooch, just coming off of that game against the Hawks, he was phenomenal. And I don't think people realize how good he was. He went for 22 and 16 with four blocks and two steals. And this is three games in a row where he has had multiple blocks. You know, Vogel feels comfortable giving him the minutes. He's coming off of rest, so you don't really have to worry about that. Denver's defense in general is just hemorrhaging production in the front court. So I think Vooch is a really, really interesting pivot off of some of the more chalky options. And the same could be said for Aaron Gordon in this situation, who should be able to get up and down and be productive.
Yeah, I'm in on Vucevic as well. He hasn't played a ton of minutes without Fournier and Terrence Ross, only 18 total, but he has had a usage rate of 32% over that time frame. So I think the Fournier injury could definitely open up some extra opportunities for him. And he's normally not a guy that I like paying, you know, 8K plus for, but I do think that it's a good matchup. Plus the extra usage opportunities, he could easily pay this price tag off still. I mean, we've seen, you know, the ceiling. He showed it to us twice in the past, you know, three games. So definitely for sure at 8,100, he still has a lot of upside potential given what he can do. The guy that I'm really most interested in, though, is going to be Jonathan Simmons because all the wing minutes have to go to him now. You know, he's got to play upwards of 40 minutes. He played 41 against the Hawks, and that was with Fournier in that game. So I think he could, you know, easily see that kind of minute production again. And he's seen the biggest usage increase on the team with Fournier off the court, 8.2% increase, and averaged roughly 37 DK points per 36 minutes with him off the court. So I think overall at 5,600 on DraftKings, it's just like a phenomenal spot for him.
I in general, I love this game. I think it's a sneaky game stack. I think you could go with Elf too. I mean, he had a total dud against Atlanta, but you get a little bit of extra scoring out of Elfrid Payton. We know that he's going to be handling a lot of those possessions because you're not going to have Fournier involved in the early sets. So I have, you know, I'm an Elfrid Payton guy. Like you may have a weakness for Jamal Murray. I have a weakness for Elfrid Payton.
Oh, trust me, I have a weakness for him too.
So I you could stack this one up and it would be a really fun like express slate or small slate game stack for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, huge total, not huge, but big total, 218 points with some injury value on both sides, to me, that's like ideal for game stacking.
Yep. And bad defense on both sides.
Right. All right. Next game, we have the Warriors favored by 4.5 at the Detroit Pistons. 213 point total on this game. Steph Curry is going to be out for at least a couple of weeks with his ankle injury. Patrick McCaw is also out for the Warriors. Zaza Pachulia was originally doubtful with a shoulder injury, upgraded now to questionable. And then Iguodala and Draymond Green are both probable. So lots of injuries here for the Warriors, but ultimately the one that really matters is Steph Curry. Then on the Piston side, John Luer is still out with his ankle injury. So KD, not to bury the lead, just absolutely crushed in his first game without Curry, had a usage rate of over 40%. Is he somebody that like you can even consider fading on this spot?
I think you could make the argument that, you know, Detroit is a decent defense. He's on the road. Draymond may come back. You know, there's a lot of ways you could talk yourself into this. But, you know, all you have to do is watch the highlights from the Charlotte game to remind yourself of who Kevin Durant is when it's his team. You know, he went out there and, you know, took, I believe it was 36 shots, which was one of his highest usage rate. He had no problem handling a ton of possessions, you know, with 10 assists. So you're overthinking it if you're talking yourself into, you know, Tobias Harris is a good defender and Detroit has been better this year and it's a pace issue. I mean, it's almost the exact same story with Charlotte. Charlotte is a halfway decent average defense that doesn't run a very intense pace, you know, who has, you know, relatively athletic wing defenders. So, I mean, don't overcomplicate it. Kevin Durant is, a cash game lock and load, for I think 90% of the field.
Yeah. I think for cash games, for sure, you have to bite the bullet and play him. I mean, we'll talk about New Orleans in a bit, but if Anthony Davis is out, you know, I would still think DeMarcus Cousins would be my preferred target of the two if I had to choose between them. But yeah, Kevin Durant is going to be just a monster while Curry is out. That being said, I do think there is some fade potential in tournaments. And
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think the big reason is Draymond coming back. Kevin Durant is obviously going to be the main focal point of the offense, like regardless of what Draymond brings, but he may see fewer assists and he may see a couple less rebounds with Draymond re-entering the fold. And, you know, I wouldn't bank on a 43% usage rate every night. So I think now at an elevated salary, you know, at a huge ownership percentage, I think you could definitely talk yourself into some fade consideration in what should be a relatively tough matchup. I mean, you know, the total on this game we said was 213 points. That's like way low for a Golden State game. I think that I will likely find myself fading him in tournaments.
I think that makes sense. I think that makes a lot of good sense. And I think that you're probably going to see what you're going to see is a few fewer rebounds, a few fewer assists, because we know that that's really where Draymond kind of excels. He's not going to score a ton of points. He's not going to take the ball out of, you know, Durant's hand in that respect, but he will, you know, snag a couple rebounds and a couple assists from him. So something to consider.
Right. Like I heard today that Durant brought the ball up on something like 25 possessions in that game. I think that for sure will fall more to Draymond in this spot.
Yeah, so, it makes a lot of good sense.
Anybody else for the Warriors?
You know, I don't know. I don't want to chase Iguodala in this situation. That was an outlier for him to have that many points. I feel like you could get sucked to chasing him in this situation, but he could go back to a much more subdued role with Draymond back. I think that would actually affect him more. He's not going to do that much scoring. And, you know, ideally Kerr doesn't have to play him more than 30 minutes. So I don't want to talk myself into chasing Iguodala or any of these other guys who might get limited minutes.
Yeah, I agree. Iguodala to me, he is somewhat tempting. You know, like he should definitely, I think, see more of the Steph Curry minutes than anyone else. But again, it feels a little bit like chasing. So I'm with you there. I think I could talk myself into some Klay Thompson exposure in tournaments.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming off of a pretty rough game. Didn't really see any sort of a bump in usage with Curry out. But you know that there's going to be a game eventually where this guy pops off. It may not be this game against Avery Bradley, but I want him for sure on my team when he does. So I think he's going to be someone that I'm looking to sort of use as a pivot off of Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I just, it's kind of the Gary Harris thing. Like, I really, you know, like I want him to start, I want to see him start to take more than 13, 14 shots. I mean, he's been so efficient. It's insane. I mean, 8 for 15, 8 for 13, 9 for 14. I mean, you know, the player efficiency is just phenomenal, but for fantasy purposes, you just kind of want to see him take those shots. But you're right, you want to be early rather than late because he does have a 30-point game somewhere in here coming up while Steph is out, no doubt.
All right, how about for the Pistons?
I, you know, their prices are such that there's not a ton that's appealing to me. Tobias Harris would be the first guy that I would go to. But he's priced, I think, kind of right at where he has been performing, especially on FanDuel at 6,600. So I'm not in love with his price there. And, you know, 63 on DK, he's not that appealing to me either. I continue to look at Avery Bradley as slightly underpriced, but I just don't know when he's going to start scoring again. So I think the only guy on the Pistons that I can really consider, actually, is strangely enough, is Drummond. The Warriors have allowed a ton of scoring inside the paint, 46 points inside the paint. The only teams that have allowed more are Denver and Indiana. And I think that that's kind of a quiet, you know, pivot that's still really, really expensive at the center position. But for a tournament, you know, lineup, I think Drummond will garner low enough ownership that you could justify it.
Yeah, I'm a little scared of Drummond in this game. I just think it's something where, you know, he could get run off of the court. I'm not saying that that will happen. Detroit did beat Golden State once already this year, if I'm remembering correctly. Yes, and Drummond actually had 48.1 FanDuel points. So it's certainly possible that he has a big game. I think that I may just find myself going in a different direction. I do think that Avery Bradley is coming, though. Like, I'm going to continue buying low on him. He did put in 20 points in his last game. Like, I think that this guy is too good of a player to keep putting up the numbers that he has been for the duration of the season. So I like him as a potential buy low target. And as much as I hate playing this guy because he's like, he never does anything on the court, which is a terrible sell for a fantasy basketball player. But I think that Stanley Johnson has the potential to play huge minutes in this game. You know, like every once in a while he plays these games where he will randomly put up like 40 minutes. So against the Warriors, for example, he played 41 minutes in their first matchup. I think that, you know, if this game does downsize, which is obviously something that the Warriors like to do, Johnson is going to be the guy for the Pistons that ends up seeing, you know, the extra run at sort of like a small ball four.
Yeah, I think that's smart. What's his scoring upside? Like, he's, from an actual raw points?
It's terrible. Like, he could get you maybe like 10 to 15 points is his ceiling.
I was going to say 10, and you're like, all right, Stan, let's go now.
Yeah, but at his current salary, if he could get you 30 fantasy points, you would take that.
No doubt.
I think he has some, I would never trust him on a cash game team, but as far as like a flyer for a GPP, I think he could have like an 8 or 9x return on an investment, potentially, if everything breaks right.
I hear that.
Okay, next game up, we have the Sacramento Kings at the New Orleans Pelicans. No spread at the moment due to the Anthony Davis injury. I've seen one thing listing him as questionable, and I believe he's officially questionable for the game, and another thing listing him as doubtful. So who knows if he'll be back. Willie Cauley-Stein out for the Kings with a back injury. So we've seen what DeMarcus Cousins can do against the Kings with Anthony Davis sitting. The first matchup that Davis missed this year, Boogie absolutely crushed in a, you know, a quote unquote revenge game. If Davis sits here again, do you think he can put up like a repeat performance?
I mean, at 110%. I mean, if nothing else, you have the Boogie revenge narrative. Like, I would probably play Boogie in a revenge game against Sacramento at home, even if Davis was here. Sacramento has been one of the worst teams in the league to the center. They're literally, I believe, dead last in defense versus position in FanDuel points allowed, second to dead last. That would be Indiana, who's dead last. You know, allowing nearly 19 rebounds a game to centers and some assists, plenty of blocks. You know, so Boogie, when he has the ability to not only, you know, put up as many shots as he wants, but dominate an entire team, I have zero issues with Boogie, and I think you build around him tomorrow.
Yeah, so he's had a usage rate of at least 44.5% in two of the last three games.
That's unbelievable. It's like he's back in Sacramento.
It's even more than what he was doing in Sacramento. It's like literally insane. Like Russell Westbrook last year is jealous of the workload that Cousins has had recently.
Well, I mean, look at who's around him. I mean, it's Darius Miller. Darius Miller's not going to shoot. Rondo's not going to shoot. You know, it is a who's who of let's give the ball back to DeMarcus.
Right. So yeah, for sure. If Davis is out, Cousins is my top play of the day. I would bank on another, you know, close to 40% usage rate. It is interesting though. Like if Davis does play, no one is going to play Cousins at 11,800. But like you said, it's like a tremendous matchup for him, and it is still, you know, a revenge game. So that could actually be a contrarian build if you go all the way up to Cousins, with most people likely going to like Durant instead.
Yeah, I have zero issue with that. And I think actually I've been fiddling around. Like you can fit both of them in. This is a big enough slate that you can try to jam them in and go that way in your cash games, and you feel halfway decent about what comes out
for sure. So, would have worked on Wednesday.
Well, it definitely worked on Wednesday.
Could you see Anthony Davis being someone you use if he is active?
No, and I think a doubtful tag is much more likely. I mean, we saw the exact same injury. This is the same injury that Devin Booker has.
Okay.
And the Suns front office said, you know, like two, three full weeks, no doubt. It's a pretty serious, you know, soft tissue injury, and there's no reason for them to rush him back right now, especially against a pretty weak opponent. So I think you're going to probably see him ruled out sometime in the afternoon tomorrow.
All right. Well, I'm hoping that happens because I don't want to be convinced to play him at 10,500.
Oh, it's such a good price. But as soon as he is healthy, I will play him at that price.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been playing a lot of Rondo. I think 5,900 is kind of like, that's kind of the ceiling of what I want to pay for him. I don't know if I really feel excited about playing him at that price tag.
I would agree, especially in a pace down situation with Sacramento, who they actually are very, very slow, 98 possessions per game. So you're not getting that Golden State or Denver pace. The thing that you do like is that he has really fit this system for them. And I think that he is a logical fit, with the way that he's actually capable of distributing the ball. So you can see this borderline triple double type line every single night for him being a very reasonable possibility, you know, 10, 10 and 10 straight across the board. So, you know, it's not a perfect situation given the pace. But the production is there, and you know, I think it makes sense if you want to go there. Like, I'm not going to fault anybody for it.
Yeah, I'd wish I was seeing him play more minutes. You know, yeah, he's not 20, even getting yeah, to 30 right. a game.
You're right. You're so, very right about that.
I'm fine with Drew Holiday still as well. Not to beat this game to death, but he is playing a ton of minutes, and he's obviously seen a nice boost in usage without Davis, so I'm still fine with him at 7,100.
I agree with that.
All right, what about for the Kings? You mentioned Randolph earlier. He's kind of been awesome recently, playing a healthy 30 minutes a night. Can you trust him in this spot, or is he going to like end up in foul trouble or just overall abused by Boogie?
I mean, I think he and Boogie will play each other like just fake playing defense. like that's kind of how this is going to go. But the reason I have no problem with him, and he has the highest usage rate on the Kings. You're right. He's getting the minutes. No Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, and they clearly trust him to go out there and get offensive production. I don't like the price bump on FanDuel. He went all the way up to 6,700. I think that's way too much to pay for a guy who, like you said, could get in foul trouble or, you know, might just get shut out. Now, 5,900 on DraftKings, I think that's fine. I think you're going to see increased ownership, though. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people chasing that performance, and I think you're probably going to see him come back down to earth, you know, and just kind of, you know, a normal 30-point outing, and you may be a little bit disappointed. And you're paying pretty much the highest price he's been all year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, yeah, like you said, DK, he's got some upside still. FanDuel, it's too expensive. Yeah. I'll be honest, I missed the boat on Jakarr Sampson on Wednesday.
16 rebounds?
Yeah, is that real? Is that like a real performance? Can he be trusted to play 30 minutes again? Because if he is at 3,400, you know, that seems like a really strong play.
I have no idea, but this is the kind of thing that I feel like I'm going to be looking at Sacramento Kings Twitter to try and get some takes about who is Jakarr Sampson and should I play him? you know, it's interesting, but like you have to think though, that a 16 rebound performance, the first time that this guy has actually played, second time that he's actually played this season. I mean, third time he's played this season, second time he's played any meaningful minutes. I mean, that's an outlier performance, a really, really strange number to put up. So I'm not going to necessarily chase. Do I think he's going to get 30 minutes? Could he score? Yes, but he kind of falls in that Stanley Johnson bucket for me, right? I mean, you're hoping for the peripheral upside.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And obviously against the Pelicans, they might want to play a more traditional center more minutes.
So. Yeah, I think you're definitely going to see some Kosta Koufos and some Papianis just to try and soak up five fouls against Boogie in that situation.
Anybody else on this team we should be looking at?
The only one is Buddy Hield, and it's just because...
Buddy Hield revenge game.
Buddy Hield revenge game. If you get the double revenge game in your lineup, I think you can pretty much lock in your cash from there. No, it's tough because he's so inconsistent, and it's all driven by the shooting for him. But you know, you think perhaps he's getting a little bit more trust in that rotation. He's been playing 25 minutes a game. The usage bump is there clearly without WCS. So I mean, it's not perfect, but if he falls to you, you could do worse.
All right, Dallas Mavericks at the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks are favored by 6, 201 point total. Nerlens Noel out for the Mavericks. Not that really matters because he's barely played this year. Dennis Smith Jr. is questionable. He didn't practice on Thursday. And then for the Milwaukee Bucks, Jason Terry is out and Matt Dellavedova is questionable. So this game definitely projects as one of the slower of the night. Who do you like here?
Oh, gosh, this is one of those games that I'm, you know, you may end up just crossing off your list. And I don't really have a problem with it. Dallas's defense was terrible earlier in the year, but they have kind of righted the ship. And as makes sense, you know, Rick Carlisle's defenses are usually halfway decent. They're playing at the 25th ranked pace. They're playing slow. They're now up to 17th in total defensive efficiency. We saw this game earlier in the year, and Giannis put up a decent line, but it was because he basically out-rebounded, you know, the entire team. That concerns me. I don't think you can invest in Giannis in a slow pace down game. I do like him at home in this situation, but it's a ceiling price against a halfway decent defense. And Carlisle, you know, I mean, Carlisle find a way to scheme players out of games, and Harrison Barnes is not a half bad defender. So I can very easily talk myself out of Giannis, and I think that that's kind of the starting point of my emotions about this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. He ripped down 17 boards in that game and still had only 54.75 DK points, which is not, you know, that's obviously a great game, but we're looking for more than that at 11K. So the only guy I really think I'm looking at on the Milwaukee side of the ball is John Henson. Because
interesting.
Dallas, you know, even though they're improving defensively, they're still not a great rebounding team. And on the off chance that Henson gets, you know, towards the high end of his minute range, I think he can very easily give us double-digit rebounds here.
Yeah, they are tied with Brooklyn, allowing 33 front-court rebounds per game. That's 27th in the league. So you're absolutely right to think that Henson might be able to soak up 10 rebounds there.
So his minutes are trending in the wrong direction. You know, he went from playing 30 and 29 to he's hit 21 and 24 in his last two games, but you never know with him. He like randomly just pops up in the rotation for whatever reason,
and then
disappears for a while.
That's Jason Kidd, who is a savant when it comes to gut calls about who he should be playing.
Anybody on the Dallas side of the ball that you're looking at?
No.
Yeah.
No, the only guy that's been interesting is Maxi Kleber.
He has been interesting. You're dead wrong.
Nerlens Noel, got sent to IR. I think he's having finger surgery or something. They randomly found out. So, you know, Kleber was getting minutes, but they kind of had like this log jam down there, with these forwards coming off the bench, backing up Dirk. They had Dwight Powell getting some minutes. They had Nerlens getting, 10 minutes a night. Well, now it seems like Kleber actually can lock in, 24 to 28 minutes on a nightly basis. And the man had 5 blocks the other night in Boston. And, he has some scoring upside. Like, he actually has some touch. So he can score 10 points, get a couple rebounds, maybe a couple blocks. He's nearly min price on both sides. So could be interesting.
Yeah, maybe it's the name. I don't want to play anybody named Maxi Kleber.
It's Maximilian. Does that help?
Maybe a little bit.
All right.
He had 5 blocks and put up 32.75 in his last game. Like, that just feels like the most that's a season game for him right there.
No doubt. I mean, that's the Maxi Kleber game that we chase off.
I will say that if Dennis Smith Jr. does sit, I'm going to have a ton of interest in JJ Barea.
Oh, definitely. No doubt about it. I mean, JJ is one of those guys that if he gets – he's about a fantasy point per minute. He just hasn't been playing the minutes. So I totally agree with you there.
He's actually been 1.17 fantasy points per minute over the past month, which is outstanding. He would be a solid bet to post, a usage rate of 28% in that game. So I would be a big fan of him if Dennis Smith Jr. were to sit.
And don't look now, but did you see how many minutes Yogi Ferrell played on Wednesday night?
No, I did not.
34.
Ugh.
So we could go back to – we could be getting back to Yogi fever. If you remember last April when he signed with Dallas and they had literally 0 point guards. He's min price on FanDuel. So if you are, if you have like a jam him in type situation and for a tournament lineup,
that's true. That's a good
point. You need a punt. I think you could do worse than a guy like Farrell.
Yep. That's your guy if you want the DeMarcus Cousins, Kevin Durant team for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Next game up, we have the Toronto Raptors favored by 5.5 at the Memphis Grizzlies, 202 point total. Lucas Nogueira is questionable with a calf injury. Delone Wright remains out with a shoulder injury, and then Brandon Wright is out for Memphis to go along with Mike Conley, who's obviously still out for them as well. I feel like normally as we get deeper into the podcast and we start getting to like the West Coast games, they get better, but this slate is like the opposite of that, where they're just going to progressively get worse until we finish.
Yeah. That's probably right.
You know, like, I really don't have a ton of appeal in this game, I think, for the most part.
The only guy that I could talk myself into is Tyreek just because he has such a great ceiling recently. You know, and they're finally at home. I feel like they were on the road for a long time. His price is very reasonable. He's going to come at relatively low ownership. And while Toronto's team defense has been good, attacking them at the two has been a really nice trend. Now, I know he's been switched over to the point guard, and Kyle Lowry's a pretty good on-ball defender, but I don't really think Lowry's going to be able to guard him. If you just think about the size differential there, I mean, you're talking about Evans is 6'8", over 200 pounds, and Lowry is, you know,
6'2", over 200 pounds.
Yes.
No, Kyle Lowry's skinny now. I can't make fun of his weight anymore.
Yeah, man. I mean, I love Kyle Lowry. Like, give me a Big East point guard all day, but I think Tyreek is probably going to end up with DeRozan just from a length perspective, and we know that you can do some damage against DeMar DeRozan if you want to put up some buckets. So that's interesting to me, but I don't think you have to have him.
Yeah, I think if I play this game, it'll be the punts. Jakob Poeltl has been pretty good with Noguera out. He's had games of 21.25 and 31.5 in his last two on DraftKings, and he's 3,600. Memphis obviously has a little bit of size, so he won't play a ton. It'll be like 20 to 24 minutes, but I think he can get us value in that time and is another candidate for, you know, team jam him in.
Yeah.
But again, that's only if Noguera's out. And then Fred Van Vliet getting all the backup point guard minutes has actually been pretty solid as well. He's 3,700 on DraftKings. He would be, you know, secondary to the Dallas guys for sure if DSJ sits, but another guy who's been pretty solid and could maybe get us 5x value.
Yeah, no, I he is, yeah, he's the kind of guy that if you need him, you can fit him in there.
Okay, let's get to the last game of the night. We've got the Boston Celtics at the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs are favored by 2, and we have a 197-point total. Injuries here, Marcus Morris is questionable with a knee injury. Jaylen Brown, questionable with an eye injury. Kawhi Leonard is out with a quad injury, but he hopes to make his return on Saturday's slate against Phoenix. That's classic Spurs, by the way.
Oh,
we're going
to
hold
gosh.
Him out against Boston, but we're going to let Kawhi play against Phoenix.
Well, and by the way, LaMarcus Aldridge, by the way, 38 minutes tonight, will be rested on Saturday. Kawhi will come back and drop 40.
That would be the dream. Other injuries is Kyle Anderson is out, and then Manu Ginobili is probable with a knee injury. So let's start with the Celtics. Could potentially have some injury value. Morris and Brown, I believe, did not play on Wednesday. If we get some injury news, is there some guys you're considering here?
You know, yes. The problem that you have is that it's against the Spurs. I mean, against any other team, you would feel comfortable about the role, you know, of like a Jason Tatum to fill in some minutes there, Marcus Smart to fill in some minutes there. You know, and those are the kind of the two guys that you would assume would get, you know, kind of the minutes boost. You know, it's interesting. I just ran the on off here, and there are 5 players that get a 2% usage bump: Jason Tatum, Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Marcus Smart, and Terry Rozier all take a 2% usage bump with no Marcus Morris and no Jaylen Brown on the court. So it's kind of a wash. You know, there's no clear winner in this situation.
Right.
And it's the Spurs on the road. So I think that you probably have, you know, I you've two top five defenses in efficiency here. So I'm not particularly interested in anything. I don't know what I could talk myself into.
Yeah, there's really nobody for the Celtics that I like. Kyrie Irving has been fantastic from a real basketball perspective, but you know, the Celtics style of play has sort of limited his numbers here. He's actually, you know, was almost a better fantasy asset when he was playing with LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see the price correct a little bit, because there's going to be some point when he's in this $7,800 range, which is just a phenomenal price for him, by the way. when you can definitely go back to him at, you know, 30 minutes where he's going to get you a 41, 42 point performance. But yeah, I mean, we've seen that a very tight range of outcomes for him recently, and there's not much there against the Spurs.
Right. On the Spurs side of the ball, I think Rudy Gay, you know, is somebody that can garner some attention. He's played 32 minutes now in back-to-back games. However, you know, the Celtics have been just death for wings this year.
Yeah, and they are just a phenomenal defense, period. And you have to think that Rudy Gay slows down a little bit at some point. I love to see him performing this way after the Achilles. You know, he's finally getting a little bit more freedom. It just feels a little bit out of character. I don't know what to make of it. And he's 6,300 now on FanDuel. So I'm kind of in the boat of like, well, I think I missed it. I think I missed the $5,100 price point. I'm not going to really go back there now.
Yeah, still 5,200 on DraftKings, which is
that's really reasonable.
A strong price for sure. And as good as their wing defense has been, it definitely would take a hit if Jaylen Brown was out. So Rudy Gay for sure on my radar, but again, like that's about it. I really think that, you know, I think there's a chance that the person who wins a GPP tomorrow doesn't have a single game that starts after 7 o'clock. You know?
Like, yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you're talking about three, Toronto, Memphis, Dallas, Milwaukee. I can't think of one team that actually runs a decent pace for fantasy basketball among those six. And I'm looking at the numbers now. And yeah, Toronto right now is average at 100 possessions per game. So they're actually above league average right now, but the rest of these teams are very, very slow.
Yep. So it's definitely one of those nights. I know that there are certain people that like to just jam in all the early guys so they can see their take a screenshot like, oh, I'm winning 100,000, yo. like maybe this is the night where that strategy pays off.
Definitely. Definitely. If you are, this is a great strategy for, you know, for guys on Twitter who want to attract some attention.
Right. You take a screenshot at 7:05, like currently winning 132,000, and you just write hold.
That's it, baby. That's it.
And that's it. Then you win all the money tomorrow.
That's it. That's how it works.
All right, Sean. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on. We will look to do this again in the future. And please make sure to check Sean out on Twitter at Hey Mr. Kane. For Sean, I am Matt LaMarca on Twitter at Matt LaMarca. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to On the Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast powered by RotoViz Radio. And special thanks to Randy E. Aguibo for the introduction. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email onthedailydfs@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @onthedailydfs.